Your money, your estate plan, your retirement. Securing Arizona's future one family at a time. This is The Word on Wealth. Intelligent financial talk you can have faith in. With your host, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates, John Dombrowski. Send your questions to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. Now, here's John.
And welcome to The Word on Wealth. I am John Dombrowski, going to be with you here for the next hour, talking some financial talk and financial issues facing all of us. As always, I love it. If you've got questions for me, anything financial, you can shoot me an email to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. Whether it's IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, Roth IRAs, insurance, real estate, estate planning, or taxes, whatever on your mind is always, again, DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com is where you could send those emails. And when we're talking about these important financial issues, I love to take the fun approach to this serious matter of your money. And welcome again. Hopefully you're having a great morning. It is a beautiful, beautiful morning out there. And we've had, boy, the weather has been fantastic. Actually, a little warm, I think, for this time of the year. It's been that way, as we know, this whole year with no rain. We need some rain, don't we? I was actually up north a couple weeks ago, and we did get a nice little rainstorm up there, which was nice. Actually, it had a little snow as well. Not too much accumulation of the snow, but we did enjoy the precipitation that we did have up there. And on the way home, we drove, and as we were coming down the hill, of course, it got warmer and warmer, and no rain, and then eventually got down into Phoenix, and, well, you know, the rest of the story. Anyway, just wanted to give you opportunity and ways to get a hold of us by going to our website, which, of course, is GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We've got some great information there on the website, as well as a way to get a hold of us. We also have our weekly economic update that we can offer to you, which is some great information that can be dropped into your email box each and every week just by signing up for that weekly economic update. And you can do that right on our website at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. You can also request an appointment right there on the website as well. Poke around on the website. There's a video there on the homepage, which will give you a little insight as to who we are as a financial planning firm for many of you out there if you have not already viewed that, or if you haven't taken the time to schedule your appointment with me, you certainly can do that as well. All right. I do want to touch on a couple of things here. The weekly economic update that we do send out, it really does have some great information on it. And here's a little bit of what I'm talking about. You know, it talks about what's happening in the markets and in the economy over the past week, as well as in the week upcoming. And just to kind of touch and highlight on a couple of things, this week we're talking a little bit about COVID-19 and the vaccines, right? Many of you may have heard some positive news, as we saw Pfizer came out with a report. It was a couple weeks ago, basically saying their third trial of their vaccine has reported fantastic results, above 90%, they said a few weeks ago. And then more recently this week, they came out and said with the final run through of what they found, it's actually about a 95% accuracy with that vaccine, which is fantastic. Think about that. And then also we had Moderna come out with their vaccine this past week, and theirs was at a 94%. And then on top of that, later in this week, we just saw AstraZeneca, which came out with a drug saying that they are having some great trials as well, and they're probably going to be the next in line here. So here we have three companies with potential vaccines that should be going for FDA approval, and hopefully that would be fast-tracked, I would imagine. Therefore, we should really be able to start seeing these vaccines out there to the public. Now, the numbers were pretty high as far as the number of vaccines that were going to be able to be produced. We're talking in the tens of millions per month is what they're talking about. And if that's the case, then, boy, by mid-next year, we should have been able to produce well into the hundreds of millions of vaccines for citizens of the United States who are going to be willing to take those. Now, there are those out there who may not, but of course, there are a lot of people out there that will. And as we start to see potentially the benefits of the vaccine and the how well it does actually perform is going to be the story that's going to be need to be told here in order to convince the majority of the population to go ahead and get that vaccine. So that's number one on the vaccine hopes. Then we have this cloud over Chinese capitalism we talk about in our weekly economic update, where we're seeing some of the Chinese technology companies, some news that was brought out, and a number of these companies dropped quite a bit on the news, but also they there was a listing of one of their large public offerings that they were going to have happened that was pulled. So there's some issues over there with Chinese capitalism, and that's kind of a, you know, put a little bit of a asterisk by that, because is there Chinese capitalism, right? Well, there kind of is, but maybe the Chinese government is trying to regain some control over that, as we're starting to see some little things happen over there. Now, also, we had some economic data that came out this week. Retail sales were a little bit weak, which was a little bit of a concern, and we saw the markets pull back because of that. However, generally speaking, retail sales were weak, but there are a number of sectors in the markets where that's not the case. When we saw Walmart come out and blow away earnings, we saw Target come out and blow away earnings, Home Depot and some of these others. So there are definitely some anomalies going on in retail. Of course, we've got about 12 million Americans set to lose their unemployment benefits still by year's end if we don't come to some type of another agreement between the House and the Senate, which looks like there may be opening of talks again between the Democrats in the House and the Republicans in the Senate, which hopefully will get some COVID relief to these individuals out there who need it. And then we also saw existing home sales. Once again, existing home sales, just amazing the numbers that they reported. And what we found were that there's only about a 2.5 month supply of existing homes out there. Now, this is nationwide on average, which is really the lowest. It's a historic number to have just such a short supply of housing out there for those who are trying to purchase homes. Now, this is not new homes. These are resale homes. But also the average median household price for property or for a house, $313,000. So the numbers creeping up. We're seeing property values increasing because of the scarcity of properties on the market. So a lot of positive indicators out there as we see. But the markets had some hiccups this week. There's no question about that. And we're probably going to continue to see some volatility in the markets throughout the rest of this year. Of course, we're coming into the holiday season. Many are expecting this Christmas rally that we all like to see. And year to date, we see the Dow Jones is up 3.3%. We see the NASDAQ up over 31% and the S&P up about 11% year to date. So we are seeing some positive markets out there. That Dow 30,000 pulling back from that, but it's a historic number as well. So with all of the issues that were faced in the economy with COVID-19, the shutdowns, and now again schools being shut down again, we're still seeing the markets perform. Now, there are sectors of the markets that are not performing, and this is where I think it's important that we really take stock, of your investments, and understand, as I always like to say, what you have and understand why you have that and have a purpose when you're investing. So because things change in the economy, we want to make sure that we're properly invested in the sectors that you can take advantage during these periods of volatility. And if you need help with that, that's where we can come in. You can certainly reach out to us at Grand Canyon Planning. Call our office at 480-991-1055. For your own personalized financial consultation, or you can request an appointment right on our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com. So all of that we just talked about, this is the type of information you'll be getting on our weekly economic update each week, as well as our weekly riddle. And let's do our weekly riddle right now as well. Last week's riddle was, why does Norway have barcodes on the sides of the ships? I don't know if anybody got that. So they can Scandinavian. That's the answer. I didn't get it. But this week's riddle, I'm far away, yet you never get closer. I'm always below mountains, yet always above oceans. If you run towards me, you'd run out of breath. What am I? That's a tough one. Well, hopefully you'll get that answer. You can go to our website and you can sign up for the weekly economic update, or you can always just wait until next week's show to get the answer to the riddles. But it's fun to get that weekly economic update. So I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. As always, check out the website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We're going to take a short break and we will be right back after this. I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder. Ride on the peace train. Come on. All right, we're back. John Dombrowski, this is The Word on Wealth. Thanks, as always, for joining us. We've got lots to talk about today, and there's always time for you. If you've got questions for us, anything financial, we always invite you to please send us a email at dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. And happy to answer those email questions. Along with, if you've got questions for us and you'd like to schedule an appointment to sit down and talk with me to discuss your financial plans, well, you can do that by calling our Scottsdale office at 480-991-1055. That's 480-991-1055. Or go to our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com and request an appointment right there online. All right, we've got to talk again about a couple of estate planning issues. And for that, as always, we're going to bring in one of our favorite guests, estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz, who is officially wearing his mask at the microphone right now. Hey, Jonathan, how's it going?
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Just wanted to see if it made a difference or not.
Not really. No, because you're getting pretty close to
that. So the proof's in the pudding that this is psychological. This isn't physical. So you can wear this in the gym. You can wear this mask doing just about anything, and it's really not, doesn't affect you physically.
Right.
Right? It just protects you.
And it does bother my nose a little.
It's a little bit stretchy, but I think it's a psychological thing, and I think we just all have to get used to it. So I thought that I would try to talk to you for a second using the mask just to prove that
even
I could do it.
Even though we're our safe distance away.
Even though that I could prove that I could do it, I think, because there's all this controversy about it. I think so. It comes down to this. People are just lazy, and this is my soapbox that I talk about. Like just all wear a mask.
Yeah.
If you're out in public, you're around strangers, wear a mask.
And social distance.
Wear masks and social distance. Let's just do our part. I mean, that's the least that we can do. Okay, that's all I wanted to say on that.
Okay. Oh, there you are.
Now I just wanted to get that out of the way. And, you know, if you do happen to be going to the gym in Arizona, my last little PSA, public service announcement is, if you're wearing a mask, wear the mask.
Right.
If it dips below your nose, you're not wearing the mask.
So
wear the mask. And by the way, you're not kidding anyone. And I can't handle it anymore. If I'm wearing a mask, you should wear a mask.
Yeah. I went to get something from a takeout from a restaurant the other day. And because that's what we do. We always go to get takeout a lot. And there were a couple of people there working. And one of the people had their mask on. And it was well below the nose. It was completely showing.
They're not wearing a mask then.
And touching their face. And I'm thinking to myself, God, if that person's the one that's going to be handling our food. And fortunately, it wasn't that person. So that was good. I didn't have to say anything. But the bottom line is, you know, if you look back a year ago, we probably wouldn't have thought much about that, Jonathan. But we do. We have to think about it today, unfortunately.
And I will say, kudos to you. Good for you. We need to support our local businesses. Yes. Get takeout as much as you can.
Yeah.
Do it safely. Get takeout. We need those businesses to still be there. Because you could imagine when this thing's over and you want to go out to dinner and that restaurant's not there.
Mm-hmm, your favorite place. Yeah.
So get takeout. Yeah. Even for the holidays. Get takeout for the holidays. All the restaurants are doing
they're
it. Call ahead.
They got specials. It's going to be well worth it. Do it. You can make it work. Hey, Jonathan.
So
okay. So we have had questions about this in the past, Jonathan, which is we talk estate planning with you on the show, of course, and a lot of other fun things. But one of the things that we found is that we still have a little bit of confusion when it comes to what's called funding if you have a living trust, putting assets into the living trust. And what I see oftentimes when I do reviews with people who come in to see us for the first time and maybe they've created an estate plan using a revocable living trust, and I'll ask the questions, well, is everything funded and put in the trust? And they say, yeah, everything's in the trust. And I said, well, okay, let's do a quick, talk through and take a look at some of the statements. And I find that nothing's in the trust. They say, well, the person who created it told me everything was in the trust. Now, I would be surprised if they told them that, but I think people just feel, hey, we create the trust and everything's automatically in there.
So there's the second step, and you have to do it systematically, and you have to go asset by asset, and some are easier to transfer to the trust, and some are harder, okay? For bank accounts, you need to physically go to the bank to do it. For property deeds, you need to send in a new deed that's properly recorded and then check with the assessor's office to ensure that it's been accepted and have the title's been changed correctly,
right?
To list the name of the trust. For instance, on your financial accounts that you where you name the trust either as the owner of the account or as a beneficiary in the account, you need to see a page, like for insurance purposes, it's called the declaration page.
Right.
But it would be that first page, that summary page of that financial account that shows how it's titled.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when it is titled correctly in the trust, the name of the trust will be listed at the top. So it'll be John S. Smith,
right,
trustee or his successors in trust under the Smith Family Living Trust or something thereabouts.
Right.
Right. Right. It's pretty obvious it's in the trust. When I say, is that asset titled in the name of the trust, you should easily be able to look at how that asset is titled, i.e. the first page of your bank statement, and the name of the trust should be there, front and center.
Right.
And if it's not, then we need to figure out why it's not and what we need to do. Now, are there going to be some assets that you might not title in the name of the trust? Well, maybe, and there might be a specific reason why, but we want to do that intentionally. Mm-hmm. We don't want something to either be in the trust or not in the trust accidentally.
Right.
Everything should be intentional, and we should be proactive about doing it. It shouldn't be something that we just fall into.
Right.
This is especially important as you get older. If you lose capacity and someone has to manage your assets, your trustee has to manage your assets for your care, or upon your passing, it'll defeat the purposes of your estate plan.
Yeah.
Right. And we can't just think the trustee is going to take care of it because that's not the trustee's job.
Yeah. So one of the things, Jonathan, too, we find even with our own, in our own industry, when it comes to the financial accounts, when we establish accounts for people, if a couple is married, if they have a revocable living trust, and this is an account that's a joint account, we want to make sure that that account is titled properly in the name of the trust. Now, oftentimes, if they've got an account that's outside of the trust now, and they're going to be moving those accounts over to our firm, what we'll usually do is transfer it over to our firm as a joint account, and then we create documents to transfer it into the trust, because it's just easier for us to do it on our end rather than trying to get the their old financial advisor to do that and then transfer it.
And what you said is really important. So when you're using financial accounts, and it's husband and wife, they're typically always titled as joint accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But we take that for granted and don't realize that is not always the case with other accounts. And you may run across a financial institution that doesn't do that automatically, but ask you how you want it to be titled.
Right.
So if they say, how do you want it to be titled? And it's a financial account and you don't know, you need to call John.
Yeah.
Don't do anything until you call John.
Yeah.
And if it's about a property deed, call me.
Yeah.
Right? And I can give you the lowdown of the three options you have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you're married, there's three options. You can have it as tenants in common, you can have it as joint tenants, or you can have it as community property threat of survivorship.
Right. Or you could have it sole and separate if you're married, but then you'd have to know that there has to be a disclaimer.
Yes.
So these
are the things that I think become very, very important, but people like just they miss. Now, coupled with this is to ensure that your durable financial power of attorney is up to date.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've had this conversation. I used to think that, well, 5 years, we need to update it every 5 years.
Right.
And I hate to say it, but it might now be that we need to update it every 2 years. We need to be very careful depending on the financial accounts that you have and if they're titled in the trust or not. Because as you get older, if you're going to allow someone to use your financial power of attorney to manage an account you may have, we have to ensure that that financial power of attorney will work with this financial institution.
That'll be accepted. Yeah.
Now, under the law of the state of Arizona, a properly executed financial power of attorney is viable and is valid and will work. However, that financial institution might make you jump through hoops as this person's attorney, in fact, or agent,
right?
Because they may dispute the validity of it. And when we're using a power of attorney, we don't have time to go through that. So we need to do it ahead of time.
Yeah, that's always the challenge, right? Someone can say, well, I'm going to wait to do my estate plan until I need it. Well, Jonathan, that's the problem, right? I'm going to wait to get go to a doctor to get a checkup, once I find out that I have heart disease. No, you want to prevent these things if possible. You don't want to have the heart attack and go to the doctor in an emergency situation. You want to know, and you want to have some type of baseline so that you can make sure that
we want to be proactive with this stuff. And now is even more important. So normally at the end of each year and before the holidays, we go off on, I always go off on the soapbox every year about how this is so important. And it's not like it's less important this year, but if anything, it's probably more important this year because 2020 has been so hard for everyone.
It has, yeah.
And we just, you can't afford not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially before the holidays, before people are indoors more, just as this dumb virus is taking hold more and is getting more serious and people are getting more concerned about health, we also have flu season.
Mm-hmm.
So now is the time.
Right.
Now isn't the time. Not the day before Thanksgiving, but now.
Okay, Jonathan. I've got to talk to you about today is an important day. Back in 1980, something very special happened out there, and I want to talk about that. So you'll see if you can recognize this, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Boy, that sounds like the 80s, doesn't it, that music?
It's incredible. By the way, one of the greatest actors. You got to love Larry Hagman. And by the way, he was in I Dream of Jeannie.
He was.
Right? Before Dallas. And yes, I want to know who shot JR.
Who shot JR? Well, that was it. You know, and that was November 21st, 1980. Millions, it says, tuned in to find out who shot JR.
I mean, this is must-see TV. This, and who wouldn't want to live at South Fork?
350 million people. Wow.
I mean, my dream would be to have a ranch in Texas.
So South what's Fork. Interesting is Christina in our office, she visited South Fork. Her mom was very good with her kids, and they took them all over. Wherever they were, they always found a place to stop where they could catch up and see what was going on out there in the world. And one of those places was South Fork. So,
see, that's incredible.
It really was.
That's incredible.
Well, Jonathan, as always, man, I really appreciate you being here. Any final thoughts, Jonathan?
Well, I mean, I don't know. We need TV like that again to entertain us. Like Dallas, what a great TV show. But if you look back on it now, just so awful. But in retrospect, great. Everyone, get your documents done.
Get the documents.
Don't wait. Yeah. Get your documents done. Come in and talk to us.
Yeah. All right. Estate Planning Attorney Jonathan Muntz, as always. I'm John Dombrowski. If you've got questions for us, anything financial, you can shoot us an email to dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com or you can just go to our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com, request an appointment there, and we'll be back after this short break. John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. We are back. Continuing our conversation. Mark Emberton. Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Fantastic. Long time no see. What's it been, 6 minutes?
Yeah, good to see you, Mark, as always. Appreciate you being here. You know, Mark, I wanted to get into a couple of topics here, but I wanted to also get to an email here right away. Right off the bat.
Right out of the gate.
An email for you. Yeah, so this particular email comes from Raymond, and Raymond is in Buckeye, Arizona. Says, hey, I'm considering selling a rental property that I have. I know that I'm going to have some gains on that property. What should I be doing for pre-planning and trying to understand what taxes would be due? Raymond, good question. Yeah, number one, if you're working with a CPA, I always recommend before you make any major financial decision that could affect your taxes would be to discuss that with your CPA. If you don't have a CPA, happy to put you in touch with one. And then this way you can understand what the tax liability is going to be before you actually sell the property and what the ancillary potential pitfalls might be of that as well. Now, it's always great when we're going to sell something and we're going to make a profit rather than a loss, right, Mark?
Yep. I always say paying taxes is not the worst thing in the world. It just means you did something right.
There you go. But what else might someone want to consider, Mark, when it comes to something like this, where you're going to have some additional income, maybe like a windfall in a way that you wouldn't have normally had?
Yeah, and I don't know in Raymond's case if he's planning on reinvesting those dollars. And again, like you said, always work with your CPA to make sure you can maximize the tax savings. And I had a client once that had a similar situation where they were selling a second home. But they were going to reinvest that into a more expensive home.
Okay, so again, just one home to another, mm-hmm. per se.
And this should have fallen under what we call a 1031 exchange, where you can reinvest the profit from one property into another and basically defer that tax liability mm-hmm. for a later day. Mm-hmm. And in this client's case, it was actually going to be a legacy property. So when they passed along, it was going to go to their children through their estate, and they would get the step up and basis of the house.
And basically pay no tax all the way.
And then they could either keep it and hang on to it, or they could turn around, like I say, and pay and sell it tax-free.
Right.
So that was the plan. However, in this particular client's case, they worked with a realtor who, in my opinion, didn't have quite the skill sets that were needed, and basically gave them some inaccurate advice and said that they didn't qualify for such a tax break. Oh. And so there was a recognized gain on the sale of that property to the tune of about $300,000, which created about a $50,000 tax bill that this particular client had not planned for.
Wow.
And so that was just a real shock. And mm-hmm. and of course, we've been talking about RMDs, required minimum distributions. And if you make a mistake, the IRS is fairly inflexible with tax law.
Right.
You know, they say, hey, we put it out there and it's on you to figure it out. And that's why it's important to work with that CPA. And in this particular client's case, it was a really kind of a double whammy, because not only did they have to come out of pocket and pay that tax bill, then they got a nice little letter from Uncle Sam saying, oh, congratulations on your windfall. Now we're going to double your health insurance premiums.
Your Medicare premiums.
Yeah. And so they were, you know, these were a 67-year-old couple. They had been paying privately for their health insurance for years, up until the age of 65 when they got onto Medicare. And they were so tickled when they were finally able to kind of put that private insurance bill behind them and get onto the government's health insurance. But now they're back to the same old story, having to double their health insurance premium. So it's just, wow. You have to be real careful when you're dealing with capital gains on assets,
yeah,
whether
any,
it be real property
yeah.
or stocks or bonds. So again, working with a financial professional and your CPA, or if you don't, like I said, if you don't have one, certainly we could help introduce you to some to make sure you don't make a critical mistake, because once that bell's been rung, you cannot unring it.
You know, Mark, I go back to something that I often believe strongly in, which is whatever you're going to do in your life, whatever service or product you need, boy, it's always nice to deal with someone who's had experience in that area that you're dealing with. And I take it down to the simplest things, as maybe someone who's going to be fixing your garage door, or if it's something that's going to be a dentist.
A doctor.
This is a great story. I had a situation where I actually had to go to the dentist because I had a pain in a tooth, right? And so I knew exactly, we're sensitive to that, right? It's in your own mouth. You know where the pain is and what's causing it. You could tell. And so I said, went to the dentist and I pointed to the tooth and I said, it's this tooth right here. It's hurting. It's bothering me, you know? And he's poking around on it, doing all sorts of things. And it's not increasing the pain at all when he's touching it. And then he goes, well, let me try something. Let me do this and let me do that. And then he starts poking around at a different tooth. And he hit another tooth. And I went, oh, I said, that's really sensitive. He goes, okay. He goes, I see the problem here. It's not the tooth you're thinking. He saw exactly what it was. It was a different tooth, and it was a little whatever, a crack or whatever it was in the filling. And so he found what the problem was, not just, you know, thinking, okay, well, it's that tooth. Let's just start drilling, right?
Yeah.
That's experience. Obviously, someone like that who's been in the, you know, practicing dentistry for, he's been my dentist for 25 years. So when it comes to your financial plan, when it comes to your money, that's critical as well. You want to be working with someone who has experience, who's seen all of the things that can happen and been through a variety of different cycles that we know are the markets go through. And Mark, that is so important for folks to realize, and sometimes they don't. You know, they may have a family member or a friend whose child got into the financial planning arena. And of course, you know, whenever you're new in any industry, the first thing that a company tells you to do is call all the people you know and try to get them as clients, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to your money, that may not be the best choice.
Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting, you bring up that story, and it reminds me of when I first got licensed, going back, 1996 now, and I worked for, well, what is now Morgan Stanley. Remember Dean Witter back in the day?
Right, Dean Witter, yeah.
And it was kind of scary where, you know, you get your license, you know, they put you through a two-month training process and you get your license, and then they say, here's your phone book and your phone, go make money.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, where do I begin? Right. And but it's kind of, the thing is interesting is that you're sitting there in the office and you are the broker of the day. You get assigned the job of being there just in case the phone rings.
Right.
And of course, I had no experience. And of course, the phone rings and they say, oh, Mark's here. So they'd buzz my office. And sure enough, you know, there'd be some person walking in, hey, I just inherited $1 million from grandma. Mm-hmm. What do I do with it?
Right.
And that's, to your point, I think it's kind of an interesting thing that experience is really important, because at that point, I'm like, I was overwhelmed. I didn't, like, what do I do with this person? How do I begin? So obviously, I consulted with some of the senior advisors and worked with them to make sure we could adequately coach this person with their financial plan. But that's not always such the case. And you might mm-hmm. just get that broker of the day who might be one day on the job. And I don't know about you, but I don't want the doctor who just got his medical degree to be performing his open heart surgery. I don't want to be the first test case. I'd no. like to be, I was like, if you've done 1,000 of these, yes. Okay, great. You're the guy for me. But and that's, I think, what goes to your point is, you know, working with somebody who's been around the block a time or two, or many a time or two,
right.
Because we've seen it. And hopefully we can learn from those experiences and take that experience and help our clients moving forward in a positive way.
Well, and those are the experiences that we've seen. As you had mentioned earlier, Mark, when you talked about some of the nuances of some of the products that are out there, making sure that we understand those so that when we do meet clients that have these products, or if we've introduced a product to a client, that we understand the ins and outs of that so that we can guide them through the years. Because oftentimes, remember, folks, when it comes to your money, when it comes to retirement planning or income planning, this is something that you're going to be doing the rest of your life. So you want to have an advisor that is understanding the plan that you're implementing, and that someone who can measure and track that throughout the years to be able to make deviations and changes as need be. But also someone that's on the same side of the table with you. Again, Mark, as a financial advisor, we act as fiduciaries for our clients with the licenses that we do have. And that's important for folks to understand that we, you know, in many cases act as a fee-based advisor so that folks are compensating us under a fee arrangement for our experience, to make sure that we're guiding them in the right direction, but working for them as a fiduciary, making sure we're doing what's in their best interest, not what's in our best interest. And that's critical. All right, Mark, we're going to take a final break of the day here. And folks, as always, you could send us those emails to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. I'll try to get to another email after this break. And if you'd like to call us to schedule your own complimentary financial consultation, you can do that also by calling our Scottsdale office of Grand Canyon Planning at 480-991-1055, 480-991-1055, or you can check out our website, grandcanyonplanning.com. We've got some great information on the website, and we've got an introductory video right there on the front page. Take a look at it, and it'll give you some insight as to who we are as a financial planning firm, and hopefully give you a good feeling and give you confidence to pick up the phone and call us to schedule your complimentary retirement assessment. All right, I'm John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. Stay with us, folks. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this. All right, we're back. John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. Folks, as always, if you have email questions, send me those email questions to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. Wow, that music was loud there, wasn't it, for a while?
It's groovy.
Yes, it's groovy. Talking with Mark Emberton, one of our advisors here at the firm, again, Grand Canyon Planning. And if you have questions, concerns, you'd like to sit down and talk with one of our advisors here at our firm, 480-991-1055 is the phone number, 480-991-1055. Mark, I want to get to a couple of emails. I always encourage folks to send us those email questions to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. I want to get to one of those emails right now, and then I want to get into a topic here, Mark, that basically relates to this email. And it says, Dear John, this is from Peter, by the way. Peter, thanks for this email. Dear John, I'm close to retirement and considering options for withdrawing from my investments once retired. My question is, should I draw from my taxable accounts or should I withdraw from my non-taxable accounts once I retire? And I would have added to that too, Peter, by the way, or should I do both, right?
Yeah.
But great question, because that's something that we always want to understand, right? And that's what's important about taking into account taxes, Mark, mm-hmm. into a financial plan, even while you're building value of that financial plan and growing that plan over the years. We should be thinking about taxes long before the distribution phase, which is where Peter is at this point, thinking about retiring shortly. Why don't I have you talk a little bit to that, Mark, and I'll add my 2 cents.
Yeah, I mean, one of those things that we always try to look at is, like you mentioned, what does the big picture look like? And really trying to identify where we're going to get the biggest bang for our buck.
That's a play on words, bang for your buck.
Yeah, and sometimes when you go to retire, maybe you're retiring at 60 years of age, but you don't plan to trigger benefits such as Social Security till much later in your later years, maybe up to 65, maybe up to 70 before you turn them on. And maybe your income is going to be non-existent until mm-hmm. then. And so maybe it would be more advantageous for Peter to withdraw funds from his retirement accounts to supplement or replace the income from his regular W-2 employment income, if that's the type of income he receives, and use that now because maybe his taxable income will be non-existent.
Exactly.
And so maybe he won't have such a tax burden now, where in the future, we don't know where tax rates are going to be. And of course, when you start adding additional sources of income, such as Social Security, or maybe any pension income that you may be entitled to, you know, that could certainly change or move the needle from a tax basis. So we just want to sit down and look at all those moving parts and decide collectively which, and maybe it will be a combination of the both.
Right.
But, you know, looking at those types of accounts and looking at and talking with the CPAs that folks work with to make sure we're asking all those questions and deciding which is going to be the best avenue to go down.
You know, Mark, there's something called, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of names you could put to it, but bracket creep, as it might be. In other words, currently the tax code has a number of different brackets, tax brackets, and depending on your income, you fall within a range in a bracket, right? So it's very possible that depending on where you're taking money from, the tax status of that money may create you to creep into the next tax bracket, therefore paying a much higher rate of taxes. So we'd want to understand that. And if you had the availability to pull money from a non-taxable account or an account that would be taxed at a lower rate, maybe a capital gains rate rather than an ordinary income tax rate, that might make the difference of saving you thousands of dollars a year in taxes.
And as you know, I do a lot of planning with veterans mm-hmm. that are, yeah. you know, and they're 70s and 80s. And a lot of times I deal with those that are, you know, still married. And a lot of times one is in a care situation and the other one is just living independent and healthy. A lot of times we can do some planning around that where we can use
right.
the expense of, let's say the spouse in this case is in an assisted living type of arrangement. Mm-hmm. In large part, a lot of that expense can be a tax deduction against income. And so in many cases, it's more advantageous to pull monies from a retirement account because right. a lot of that money can be coming out, you know, with the CPA's blessing, of course, that money could be coming out relatively tax-free.
Right.
And so yeah. we look at all those options and see if we can't find ways to maximize those distributions.
Here's just a story that just occurred, too, with another client of mine. I had done our review every year, folks. You know, we usually do, at a minimum, an annual review with a client, depending on what their financial situation is. But we pulled the client in, and we're talking this week. And, of course, in this particular case, the individual turned 70 this year and will be 70 and a half as of December. Now, that means, of course, that this individual needs to take what's called a required minimum distribution from the retirement accounts. So what we did is we did a quick analysis of the value of the portfolio and what that minimum required amount would be. And we understood what we had to take. And we also understood that for this year, Mark, there's that little caveat for the first year that you would have a required distribution, which is that you can take that required distribution in the year following the actual required distribution is required, right? So in this case, if that individual had to take the distribution in 2016 because it's the first one, meaning just turned 70 and a half, they can push that out to next year. However, we want to understand again what the tax ramifications are going to be of this. Because I was talking to this individual, still working, age 70, fantastic. Still contributing to a 401k, healthy, being able to do all that. And I asked the questions, are you planning on retiring? What's going on with your financial life? What are you thinking here? And he was saying, maybe I might retire next year. I said, okay, well, if you're going to retire next year, that means you're going to give up that $120,000 of income that you're earning. Isn't that true? And he said, well, yes. I said, well, what if we waited to take that required distribution till next year? Because if you're not going to have that $120,000 of income, well, maybe we'll take that RMD, that distribution, and we're going to lower your tax rate on that. So that really made a big impact because his distribution was going to be about $15,000. So the difference of maybe a 15% tax bracket versus a 25% tax bracket, Mark, is thousands of dollars.
And if he took it in this year, he'd probably just put it in the bank because he wouldn't need it.
Didn't need it. He had exactly right. He didn't need the money. But, of course, we were required to take it even though we don't need it. Now, remember that, folks. That's critical. And here's a situation where he has a 401k. He's still working, still contributing to it. And, Mark, as you and I know, if you're still working and a participant in a 401k plan, even if you're 70 and a half or 72 or 75 or 85, if you're still participating in that plan, you do not need to take required minimum distributions from the plan. And again, that was something he was not aware of. So we were able to discuss that as well, knowing that that was not going to need to be part of the calculation for the required minimum distribution.
Yeah, one of the things I like to have conversation about with clients is that, I mean, you probably have this similar thing. A lot of our clients are taking that money out of their retirement accounts like IRAs and old 401ks and such only because they have to.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, gosh, I'm doing it because I'll be penalized otherwise. And I like to have those conversations where we can, you know, if we're going to have to do it anyway.
Reallocate
maybe,
it.
Yeah, maybe we can take those monies and leverage that into something else where it's going to be more impactful tax-wise in the future, or maybe part of a legacy plan to maybe do some sort of planning with maybe the use of life insurance if you're healthy enough to make sure we can leave tax-free benefit dollars to the next generation
or your spouse,
charity or whomever.
Yeah.
And that's a real interesting conversation for a lot of folks out there. So we love love having that conversation with people.
Now you're talking, Mark, because we're taking after-tax dollars now, and we're able to place those in, or I should say before-tax dollars when you contributed those, now became taxable when you took the distribution, but now reallocating those assets into a plan that ultimately would be tax-free for your beneficiaries, whether that's your spouse or whether that's your children, your grandchildren, or as you mentioned, maybe a charity of your choice. So, boy, all sorts of options for folks. But again, until you sit down with an educated and experienced financial advisor, folks, a lot of those things may not ever come to light for you. So I encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity to sit down and talk with us here at our firm, Grand Canyon Planning. Happy to do that. Sometimes we're a little busy and may have to wait a week or two to get in for an appointment, but that's okay.
Yeah, get on the calendar.
Please get on the calendar. We'd love to sit down and talk with you to see what you're doing to plan for your financial future. Hey, Mark Emberton, appreciate it as always you being here, Mark.
My pleasure.
I'm John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. Folks, as always, here with you each and every week, and we appreciate you listening to us. Hopefully you find the information interesting, and it also gets you thinking about maybe picking up the phone and giving us a call at 480-991-1055. That's 480-991-1055 to schedule your own personal financial consultation with us. And also check out our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. As always, this is John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. Until next time, reminding you, don't run out of money before you run out of time.
The Word on Wealth with John Dombrowski, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates. Call and schedule your complimentary financial consultation at 480-991-1055. For personalized financial and retirement advice, that's 480-991-1055 or toll free at 1-866-991-4272. Visit us at GrandCanyonPlanning.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities, LLC, member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor. Grand Canyon Planning Associates, LLC, and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated.